Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus.
Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you to be with us today, to give us wisdom, to anoint us, to anoint our eyes and ears, to be able to perceive and understand what you're saying, and to be bold in the faith against the enemies. And we thank you for the victory, Lord, that you've already given us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God. Well, I'm going to continue on. I'm going to talk about 10:10, which we warned about in the last meeting, and Satan's minions, and justice, and a few other things. There seems to be a lot of proof that 10:10 was the beginning of a New World Order attack against the dollar and attack against the military might of the United States and conservatives. I'm going to share some interesting notes on the outage of telescopes and the internet. And market drop on 10:10 and hurricane strike on 10:10. First of all, Brandy brought this to my attention. It's a global internet outage, ICANN, to affect the global internet. And it has been widespread outage from on the East Coast, on the West Coast. And in the central. It's evidently a rolling outage. I'll leave you a link here to this. It's just interesting, along with the other things that are coming along at this time. Remember we talked about a time of martial law when they would bring down the internet. And so anyway, I thought that was curious. All these things happening together. I was watching the hurricane on 10:10, the monster hurricane that almost covered the Gulf, dark red all the way across. The eye actually came in just east of where my house is down there in Pensacola. And when an eye comes east of you on the Gulf, it's a good sign because the wind is counterclockwise. And so east of the eye, the wind comes straight into shore, bringing the waves, bringing the full force of the wind, because there's nothing to break the wind, and so on and so forth. By the time it gets to the west side of the eye, it's coming from the north and east, usually, and it pushes through towards the southwest. It's got the wind, the trees to break it, the buildings to break it, whatever. And it's not as much. But this hurricane was a big, bad hurricane, and on the west side of the eye, which is, of course, where my house is down there, you would expect from looking at the pictures that this would be a terrible storm. So I called my daughter up down there and warned her, and she says, "Oh, Daddy, they're saying it's not going to be that bad here." I said, "How can that be? You're not very far from the eye of the storm. You're in the dense part of the wind. How can it possibly be that way?" You know, she said, "That's what they're saying." And in retrospect, I'm thinking, okay, they can't lie to them. They can look out the window and see what's going on. Okay, so they have to tell them the truth. Plus, there's a lot of conservative and Christian people down there in the news media and in the weather and so on and so forth. So maybe they weren't going along with the plan. But so this thing should have done damage, great damage, all across the Gulf, as big as it was. Something is wrong. And I can't tell you I know exactly what is wrong, but I do know something is wrong. I know hurricanes because I've lived with them all of my life. I've lived along the coast all of my life. And seen a lot of them come and go. This was a big one and a bad one and a powerful one. One of the most powerful ones recorded. And you're not going to hear as much about this. The radar pictures do not fit the damage all along the Gulf Coast. There was damage in a narrow area. It was like, to me, a large tornado's scope rather than something that a hurricane in a long stretched out area does. I was sent a 21-minute video, you know, sent by IA Jumper, where the poster says, urgent, Hurricane Michael was a targeted strike. I usually don't think too much of these things, you know. Make copies, and then there's a link there to it. But when I watched it, I noticed that the scientific data that was being presented for that day during that storm didn't at all match what we were seeing on the weather and the news. And I told my daughter, hey, get away from the local news and go look somewhere else because I'm looking at something totally different than what you're saying. And guess what? During that hurricane, after it hit the shore, when it hit the shore, she said there was very little rain, very little wind, just what they locally told her. Well, the person who did this video, you know, brought about all the scientific reasons of what happened here. They took, for instance, the buoy indicators and the wind speeds along that area. And very interesting, everything pointed to the largest wind speed was 86 miles per hour, which is still a tropical storm. And that this was a very narrow alley of that speed. It tapered down very quickly in just a few miles on each side of it. I mean, we're looking at the data there. She actually put the data up and showed it to us and said, and I noticed, well, when I went on the internet, I haven't done a lot of research on this, and I'm still questioning in my mind, what does all this mean? But all the pictures are of one area, or maybe almost all of them. I don't know. I just looked at a few. They were all pointing to Mexico Beach area and Tyndall Air Force Base, which looks to me like a tornado hit it, not a hurricane. Okay, those buildings are made on the Gulf. They're made to stand up to a hurricane. But those buildings did not look like they were hit by a hurricane. They looked like they were hit by something else. I'm describing it as a large tornado only because it didn't have a wide swath. Tornadoes are up 300 mile an hour sometimes, you know, really bad, and they can take level stuff. Well, that's what happened in the area, but the wind coming in from offshore didn't show above 86 miles an hour. I don't understand. What's the point here? It was clear they wanted to take out the Air Force base. It's kind of amazing. Anyway, I'll put this link on our text, and we'll get the text up for you to look at. It's very, very interesting, and I can't see where the woman's wrong. Of course, there's a lot I don't know about this, but I do know hurricanes. I'm used to seeing hurricanes. I'm used to looking at the radar. And I know, you know, about the way the hurricane moves. Quite often they can wobble, you know, especially when they start getting on shore. They start wobbling, going this way and that. This one didn't seem to wobble. It went straight for this certain area and the Air Force base. So anyway, you can look at this and make up your own mind. I'm not trying to come up with a conspiracy here, but this is, seems very, very interesting. It seems that almost all of the damage and the media pictures was confined to a very narrow alley of Mexico Beach, maybe a little bit towards Panama City, and definitely wiping out Tyndall Air Force Base, where its planes were taken out. This is a big strike against the military in America. And there's no way. I mean, I'm looking at buildings that were shattered and came down on planes inside the building. And Leon sent me an article by Tyler Durden. Hurricane cost may skyrocket as billions of stealth fighter jets unaccounted for. And, of course, at the pictures I saw, you could see some of what looked like those jets in the pictures. The building had fallen on them and so on and so forth. And anyway, it says hurricane costs may skyrocket as billions of in stealth fighter jets unaccounted for. Tyndall Air Force Base complete loss by Tyler Durden. I put this link on here and you can look at it and go online, look at the pictures and see. I sometimes don't have a lot of time to research something, but I picked up on these things. Also, something else happened. You remember when they shut down some land-based telescopes, and it was very suspicious. People wondered, why did they shut them down? Why? Some of them weren't telescopes. They were just cameras pointed towards space, and some of them were telescopes. But why? What is it that they don't want us to see? It can't be a coincidence that they're doing this, and it was very open. The FBI went and shut them down. Okay, well, then, now, Gordon Borman sent this in. Both the Hubble and the Chandra space telescopes have gone offline this week due to different problems. Well, how can they both go down at the same time from different problems? I don't know. I just think, you know, we call them the stupid demons, and the left has eaten up with them. And they think we don't have any sense, I guess. I don't know. Here's a link on October the 8th. Hubble Space Telescope sidelined by serious pointing failure. Okay. One on October 12th. NASA Space Telescope shuts down in orbit. And Gordon makes the point, same point that's in everybody else's head, is perhaps they don't want us to see something in space. I mean, first the ground telescopes are shut down and then space telescopes. Sounds like they don't want us to see something coming from space. I'm wondering if it's DEW weapons, space weapons, which they say they have, Planet X, or whatever. You know, what is it? You know, don't know. but also on 10/10, I'm talking about also meaning the hurricane. Also on 10/10, Gordon sends this: market drop was on 10/10/2018, just as January 1988 Economist magazine cover shows. It's true. So the market dropped 832 points on 10/10/2018. And now another 546 points on the 11th. And total down is 1,378 points. So you can look at that Economist magazine cover for January of 1988, some 30 years ago. And what is shown for a date on the medallion. I put a picture of it here for you. 10 as T-E-N, 10/10/2018. Economist magazine is a globalist magazine in which they announce their plans as hidden in plain sight. And it's in plain sight right there. Very large medallion there. And, of course, they're headed towards a global currency, you know. Okay, that... I had, a couple nights ago, a dream of a pit full of snakes, and they were all around me, but none of them were able to bite me. And I asked if this was the faction, and got a yes. And I'm thinking of the false Christian faction, right? It is a witchcraft attack. It is from Satan. And it is to separate the wicked from among the righteous, as God said he would do in the time of the harvest. But because of the political and religious faction parallel, I believe that this is probably speaking about both, because, you know, they're talking about going out and taking out Christian leaders and so on and so forth. They've got at least three armies ready from Soros to go forth and do dirt, which I suggest you minimize, because you have authority, they don't. And I was reminded, of course, of Daniel in the lion's den. The lions couldn't harm him, but the slanderers against Daniel were thrown in the pit, and they were devoured. And I was reminded of Frank Thornton when he was invited in 2011 to an internet meeting where the faction were slandering and conspiring against me, and of course you too. Basically, they wanted to do as much damage to our credibility as they could through slander and lies, and they were imparted demons to do that. It was a satanic attack. But Frank Thornton was invited to this meeting, and he went to it not knowing there was a faction. And he reported on what they said to all of us, you know, because he wasn't with them at all in their evil. But he remembered that just before this, he had a dream of entering a dark building full of snakes that tried but failed to bite him. So when I shared this over here, Vanessa asked for about my dream and got a text. She got Joel 2:27. And it says, "And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame." And she was told me that she was very impressed about putting her finger on "never be put to shame," and that it was for me concerning my dream. Okay. The words that I got that day that I had the dreams was John 19:6. "When therefore the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.'" And Pilate saith unto them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no crime in him. So what I was asking about was for myself. I asked him for a word for myself, and I got this. And then just a few days or a day or two before that, I got John 19 and 16. Then same thing I was asking, you know. Then therefore he delivered him unto them to be crucified. And let me say that from God's perspective, the faction in both the political and the Christian realms has a good purpose. It reveals the wicked and it crucifies the righteous. So, you know, it gets us closer to the Lord, and it reveals who they are, because, you know, you can be going along with this person and suddenly you find that they're critical and angry and then railing and then slander and all that. And it's all because they got caught in their sin. Usually there usually was a correction ever so lightly and carefully. But they wasn't going to take any correction for sin. That's what demons do. When demons come in, they are unreasonable. You can't talk them into anything. I'm the people that are up there on the in the political realm, trying to talk these people down off of their high horse, I can tell you that is useless. You cannot talk to demons. You cannot reason with demons. They don't understand why they're so crazy. But the reason is something they know nothing about. The reason is they're demon possessed. It started from the top down. Satanism had invaded the government because of the very wicked people that were at the top of it. It had invaded the government and the media. And through the words of the media, it was imparting it to a multiplied group of people. Now, I want to tell you something. You read the book of Revelation, you wonder, how can this be that the whole world would turn against Christianity? How could it be what Jesus said in Matthew, you know, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake? I can tell you. It's being broadcast over the air. It is being put out by the media. When you speak slander and you don't handle it the way God tells you to handle it, you get those demons. They're imparted by words. You know, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Everybody's words are spirit and some kind of life. These words coming through the media, who it started out being just bribed or threatened or both to do the will of the CIA, where they are getting their money, right? Started out being that way, but the more people justify wickedness for the sake of their own advantage, the more the demons take control. Now, you can't talk those people into changing their mind because you are talking to demons. They are not in control. Okay. So I got, when asking about the faction's conspiracy of evil, that it was to stop the building of the wall. We have gotten this about the faction before. The building of the wall? Yeah, let me share this with you. In the Christian realm, the wall represents sanctification and protection from the world on the outside through revealing the truth to God's people. But notice in the political realm, they're also trying to stop the building of the wall to keep out an enemy invasion. Remember the parallel we've talked about over and over? It's happening. And let me tell you, the fall of the faction in both places is coming. So here's the text that I got. Nehemiah 2:17-20. You'll probably recognize it very well. Then said I unto them, you see the evil case that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may be no more a reproach. Okay, Jerusalem, we know, we're told in the book of Revelation, that John was told that it was the bride. Jerusalem is the bride, the glorious bride, those that are in the image of Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. Okay. Well, God's people were taken into captivity. There was no bride. You understand? They were invaded by the beast. The more they rebelled, the more they were invaded by the beast. And there was no glorious, beautiful bride. They were all in captivity. But in these days, once again, God is building the bride. It's not the false Jerusalem bride. It's the Jerusalem bride that's born from above. Aha! Okay, so here they are coming back to build. And at this time, at the very beginning, Jerusalem looks like a mess, you know. The parable is still there. Verse 18. And I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Rise up and build. How do you build the bride? By teaching the same thing that they taught back in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, in the letters, you know. By raising up a people into holiness. As you know, the bride is not a building. Many of the church people think that the church is a building. And the bride was taken out of the church. It's a portion of the church, kind of like the Philadelphia church was the bride. One of seven daughters, the seven churches. Moses married one of seven daughters, you see. The man-child Moses, right? So God is rebuilding. But when Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian, a rowdy bunch of faction here, but they really didn't belong there. They had no place there. Obviously, after people were taken into captivity, they weaseled their way into some kind of leadership there. Well, when these guys heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that we do? Will you rebel against the king? Well, of course they weren't rebelling against the king. They were being accused of rebelling against the king, which is what the faction does too, exactly what they do. And they despise the building of the wall. They despise the bride. They despise anything that looks like Jesus because they're demon-possessed, and the demons hate. You think you're talking to them, but you're not. They're full of hatred and despicable. And, of course, this is the same thing you're looking at if you watch what's going on out there in the political realm. Exact same spirits, okay? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem, which is true. None of them were even of what would you call the Old Testament church, representing the New Testament church. There are people among us who do not belong. And they become visible, kind of like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says. They become visible in the falling away. And the man of sin is revealed. You remember how Judas was among the 12 and they didn't even know who he was. And In the falling away, he was revealed. He was called the son of perdition. And he is a type of many people who are the son of perdition in the body of Christ today. Okay? So they had no right nor portion, because Jesus said, one of you is a devil. That's what he said. Judas certainly had no right there. Did Jesus choose him? Yeah, he chose him to bring him to the cross. He knew exactly what Judas was going to do. So, and of course, the Bible says that they will also be among us. And they went out from among us, the Bible says, that it may be proved that not all are of us, right? So, and in the next few pages after this particular verse, they fought to stop the building of the wall, because they don't want God's people to be protected from them. They are the enemy. The demons in them are the enemy. And I also got, when I asked this same question, you know, I asked the question about the factious conspiracy, and I got that. And then for the same question I asked again, I got Psalm 50, 16 through 21. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? And that thou hast taken my covenant in thy mouth. These are foreigners. What are they doing? Acting as though they have a covenant. And declaring the word of God as though they're part of the people that obey the word of God. Seeing thou hatest instruction, and that's exactly what happens to all of them, and castest my words behind thee, and when thou sawest a thief, thou consentest with him. That's what they did. And hast been partaker with adulterers. That's what they did. I'm talking about not only in this faction, but all the way to the first faction. In both political and religious realms, they are thieves and adulterers. Consistently. Yeah. It's amazing. Verse 19, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. In other words, they're deceivers and liars. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Mm-hmm. Now, in a minute, I'm going to talk to you about Satan and his warfare on earth, and how can we avoid it, etc., etc. So, at this same time, you've got Nahum 1, 3 through 13. So, remember, they went out from us that it might be proven that all are not of us. And this is the faction. Nahum 1 and 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. He is slow to anger, patient, wanting all to come to repentance, as the word says, right? And in other words, he gives people a chance. He already knows what they're going to do, but still, you know, there is a legal grounds for everything that God does. Great in power, and will by no means clear the guilty. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Well, he had his way in the storm too, right? He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Had a purpose there too. What was it? Well, it was to destroy Pharaoh and his army, and it was to preserve alive the elect of God, right, as they passed through. Bashan languisheth, Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him. The hills melt. The earth is upheaved at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken asunder by him. Well, I believe this war is all pointing towards the defense of God's people when the Lord returns in a visitation. And look what the rest of it says. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that take refuge in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make a full end of her place, talking about the enemy, and will pursue his enemies into darkness. What do you devise against the Lord? They don't realize that they are fighting against the Lord. He will make a full end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For entangled like thorns, and drunken as with their drink, they are consumed utterly as dry stubble. Now again, I'm looking at two factions here. A government and a church, right? And there is one gone forth out of thee that deviseth evil against the Lord, that counseleth wickedness. Now, when I shared this in our morning meeting, or when Eve shared it, everybody knew who this was. It was the faction leadership, right? Everybody knew who that was talking about, because that's exactly what happened. Thus saith the Lord, though they be full in full strength, and likewise many, even so shall they be cut down, and he shall pass away. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more, speaking to his people. And now will I break his yoke from off of thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And then Debbie Finsky got Isaiah 14:24-27. We've gotten this before when asking about the faction leader. Verses that said he was the king of Assyria, who destroyed others but lost his own life fighting against the Jerusalem bride. So here's what it says. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. We know the Lord's purpose because we hear it regularly. You know, as we pray, we ask the Lord to give us words, and he tells us his purpose regularly. That I will break the Assyrian in my land. So the Assyrian, of course, the time that they were broken was when they came against the bride. And upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them, and his burden depart from off of their shoulder. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And because this is a worldwide thing that's going on, persecution of God's people by a wicked people, for the purpose of their crucifixion and a purpose of separating them from the wicked, right? And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? What we can see, folks, and what we're going to see, is Father bringing justice. It was injustice what the beast and the harlot did to Jesus and his disciples. And Josephus pointed that out, you know, when the Roman beast came in and destroyed them all. And those that were against their brethren who brought truth to them, just like all the prophets from the past brought truth to them. And these people were killed by these same factious people. And what we can see is that Father is bringing justice. I want you to listen to this revelation that was given to Eve Brast on yesterday, actually the 13th. She called it, "His banner over us is justice." Last Saturday, while we were at the pot blessing, I sat down next to Lexi on the concrete slab under the pavilion, and I looked up at the clouds, and I saw a vision of two angels with simple white robes and golden hair holding a large white banner with the word justice written in large gold letters across it. Justice. Isn't that good news? Listen, I know you love justice. I love justice. God loves justice. And the world is going to see justice. And, of course, the people, the Satanists, and I'm using that on the broader term, the Satanists, they don't believe it's going to happen. They're fighting against it. And they're exercising all of their supernatural strength against it, which is nothing when God's people speak. Right? I then looked down at the high ridge that ran along the side of the pavilion, and I saw many angels standing all along the top of the ridge with full body shields that had a large cross on them. And on their right arms, and long spears in their left hands. And I felt they were there for our protection. Well, of course, you know, in the natural, if the Lord didn't protect you by his angels, you would be shattered by the enemy, right? But the Lord has given us authority against the enemy. And if you don't use it, you still might be shattered, right? Because he's ordered us to believe his word and speak, and what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and he's given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And if you don't fight, you lose. It's just that simple. But they were there because we had fought the good fight, and we had spoken the words of God's protection and provision, etc., etc. The angels are there. Psalm 91, "Lest you even dash your foot against a stone." Ain't that nice? Well, then, on Monday night at the meeting, Eve said, "When Charlie stood and raised his hands and began speaking in tongues, a vision opened up to me. And I found myself high above the earth, above the western hemisphere. And I looked out in front of me above the United States, and I saw those same two angels, again, holding the justice banner." Charlie's words became understood, and I heard the Lord say, "I am bringing justice to the nations. Justice will prevail for a short time." So that was a quote from the Lord. I'll read that again. "I am bringing justice to the nations." That's what we're about to see. "And justice will prevail for a short time." And that's exactly what I've been saying. That truly, the book of Revelation is going to be performed. And the people of God are going to go into the wilderness, which is the tribulation, for the first 3.5 years, as Revelation 12 says. And guess what? Who's not going to be in their ranks? The people who have been turned over to faction, who have not repented. Those people are not going to be in their ranks. I asked the Lord one time, "Why are we going through this?" I could tell, of course, that he was separating sinners from among us and is doing it in other places too. But he said, "You don't want these people to go into the wilderness with you, do you?" I said, "Well, no. They're Judases, right?" Yeah. So for a short time, why is this? Now, I've explained this before. I don't know if I've done it recently, but the bride and the man-child are going through a persecution at the hands of the faction to perfect them and to mature them and to teach them spiritual warfare and to help them to find their place and to seek out holiness and justice and righteousness so that, you know, we give the enemy no cause against us, right? So it really promotes holiness, really. But the church at large has never been through this purification process. They will go through this in the tribulation period. God's people, his bride, which has come out of the woman that's going into the wilderness, what I mean is the bride is out there mixed among that woman. They're not the woman. The woman is the larger church. But in the bride, in the woman is that virgin church that Esther and Song of Solomon speak about. It was chosen out of all the maidens of the kingdom, right? So during the tribulation, the revelation that the man, child, and the bride have is going to be shared with the rest of the church to raise up the fivefold ministry, to raise up the church to its former place in the kingdom. Most of the people that are Christian are not walking in the kingdom and are not abiding in Christ. So when this word goes forth from the matured ones, these people too will have to be tested. And we'll have to learn the value of right relationship between people and to obey the rules by instinct. So, she then said, Eve then said, and he said this, I saw the angels, as he said this, excuse me, I saw the angels go forth from the U.S. towards the east, carrying the banner around the world. As they went, light went with them and covered the earth. Ooh, yes. Okay, so that's the stage that I believe we're in here. The rest of the world is seeing what's happening here. You know, as far as the good aspects of this change of government from a bunch of criminals and Satanists to somebody that's decent and understanding by the grace of God. Okay, so this is beginning to affect the rest of the world. They too want a government that will throw out the invasion that Obama and Hillary designed to take over the West. Right? To throw out this and so on. The people are tired of getting raped, robbed, slandered, don't have their own country anymore, etc., etc. They're tired of it. They're ready to get rid of this stuff. And they're voting in conservative governments in hopes of getting some people like Trump who is bold enough to do something about this. And so on. So in the coming tribulation, the church has to go through what the bride and the man-child went through in order to have the same purity. And so God will begin the process on a larger scale while the bride and the man-child educate. You saw the man-child in Revelation 12 teaching the woman for 3.5 years. Right? That's the first 3.5 years of tribulation period. And they had relative peace. There was no war from the beast against them, possibly because of what's happening right now. Yeah. So they have, we had a sister here had a revelation. It was Sue, I believe, that Trump was handing out timepieces, clocks, alarm clocks, stuff like that, timepieces. In other words, he's giving us time, right? Yes. He's giving us time to have that 3.5 years to educate the church, to prepare the church, to fight a war in the second 3.5 years with the beast, and also to understand the reason for their crucifixion by the beast and the need for it and the way they can cooperate with the Lord to bring this to pass. Okay. So here the light was going out. Justice was going forth around the earth. Take care of the wicked. To show what God can do, right? And many people, by the way, are going to get saved because of this. Eve said, I looked back over the United States and there were giant bronze scales suspended in the air high above the United States. That's probably the scales of justice, right? Then I turned my head and looked towards the west. And I saw a thick darkness coming upon the face of the earth, swallowing up the light of justice soon after it had gone forth. So we've got this brief period of time. In God's eyes, it's a brief period of time, maybe a little bit longer for us, you know. But in which justice will go forth, taking down a lot of wicked people, which will definitely make it easier in the tribulation. But let me remind you how these demons are sent forth. They're going through the mass media. People listening to the mass media are being imparted demons. And what is the purpose, ultimate end of this? Well, the beast making war on the saints. You hated of all nations for his namesake. This is the purpose. God is giving us a short time to reform the church, to bring it into its biblical image. And Eve said, I believe Father is using Trump as an instrument to deliver justice to the American people and to promote justice to the nations. I also believe there is a parallel in church and government. Yes. Just as the governmental swamp is being drained, so will Father drain the religious swamp. Yes, that's right. Amen. In each individual church, as well as the religious community at large. Mm-hmm. And she said, once this justice purge is complete and his true body is unified, minus all the factious spirits from within, then a gross darkness of faction and wickedness from without will seek to persecute and destroy his elect. But we know this will fail and we will win. Yes, we win. Can you say that? We win. You believe it, speak it, and exercise your authority over the powers of darkness. Michael Harris sent this, and I kind of plugged it in right here. It's a link to Trump's plan to return this nation to its original constitutional republic form of democracy. Now, democracy is pretty good, but it gives people what they want, right? Theocracy is God's kingdom, you know, God rule, not the majority rules, right? And that's what we as Christians live in, is a theocracy. The rest of the world, the next best thing, I think, is a democracy. And we've seen other forms out there. Communism and always ends in disaster. Marxism in disaster. Democracy has afforded a certain amount of freedom. But it's when people start abusing their freedom, you know, like basically everybody that's in the satanic movement that just is being thrown out, then God's got to step in. When you abuse your freedom, he takes it away. That's what he did unto these people. So it's Michael said, it's spelled out for all to see, and yet most people are clueless as to what Trump is doing. Here is his plan, published in December of 2017. So I'll put a link to that there so you can look at that. And we got this prophetic revelation given to Debbie Fenske right after Eve's. She said, it's time to lay down. Lay down. So she said, driving to Missouri from Illinois on the 8th, the Father started speaking a word to me. He spoke these things over a 2 to 3 day period. I hadn't felt to give it forth until today. But then I became so attacked by a spirit of darkness that I was receiving heavy condemnation, judgment, and criticism attacking me, and I started questioning my worthiness. I read Eve's blog, and the Lord just filled me with such a lightness. All that darkness which I was rebuking and coming against just lifted. And I truly felt the Lord wants this word from him to follow Eve's. True, this is, you know, if you want God's best, this is what we need to do. Let me say, before I read this, that the flesh is the enemy of God. The flesh is what the devil uses to destroy us. It's the enemy of God. And Jesus taught us truly that if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life, right? We've got to give up our old ways. Christianity is for the purpose of bringing us into the image of Jesus Christ and delivering us from the image of the world, right? The image of the beast. And she said, my elect army, it is time to lay down. And I'm going to say, to lay down our lives for the kingdom. She said, I want you to lay down. I want to walk on you. That is, to bring our flesh under his dominion. Under the feet of means under the dominion, right? Of Christ. I want to lay my robe over you. Just before he spoke this, I had a vision in my spirit of bodies laying down, stomachs up, side by side. And I saw Jesus walking away from me and across these bodies, and like a long train, his robe laid over each body and stayed on them as he kept walking further away over them. Okay, you know, Christ's robe is his works. Our works is what we've got to lay down. Right? You remember in the path of Jesus, they laid their garments. And him on that donkey tread upon them. Okay? Tread upon their garments. I need to have my way with my people, he said. My army. Lay down and let me be all that I am through you. Cast away your works and make way for my glory in you. There must be a laying down. There must be total death to self so that you can be qualified for use in my army. Make way for my glory in you. Prepare your hearts in humility before me, for a great destruction is coming. Hordes of darkness are even at the door, waiting for their command. And I tell you, by not standing, you will not be destroyed. But you will get the victory and deliverance through my hand. Lay down and let me have my way. Let it be settled in your hearts. Laying down or standing, I will have my way against. Again, I say to you, lay down. that you may truly stand victorious in my army. And I asked the word of the Father for a confirming word, and I opened up the word, and he led me to look directly down on Jeremiah 18:1-4. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. I went down to the potter's house. I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot that he was shaping was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And thank you, Father, was her comment. This reminds me of Dimitri Dudeman's revelation of Satan coming with his army against the people of God. And when Satan spoke to the people of God, he said, all of you that... I'm just doing this from memory, right? All of you that believe you can conquer me or something like that, go to the right. And so a smaller group of the people of God stepped to the right. And then Satan faced the people on the left. And he said something like, because you've been lukewarm all of your lives and that you couldn't stand before me, I can destroy you. And so his demon horde slaughtered the ones on the left. And the ones on the right started praising and thanking God, and Satan was destroyed and his army. So, you know, I'm abbreviating this, I know, and I don't remember all of it. I just know the gist of it. It reminds me much of what we just read. So, remember this parallel that the Lord showed us prophetically between Trump and the Man-Child Company of David's. And remember that parallel there, that there is a parallel between the government and the church of what's going on with this faction thing, right? So, I guess you know that the witches of the world are attempting to hex Kavanaugh and Trump in order to nix Trump's ability to drain the swamp. So, you know, you have authority to say no to the devil. You know, you're the salt of the earth, right? You're able to speak down the works of the devil. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven, right? I'm going to put a link here to this agreement of the witches of Satanism to come together in order to hex Kavanaugh and ultimately Trump. And since they would have publicly done this against Trump three times before with no effect except success for the conservatives, you should know that when Christians exercise their authority, Satan is bound in both the so-called Christian and the political areas. So, they failed. I mean, the worst thing the Satanists can do is shoot off their mouth and tell you what they're going to do in front of a bunch of Christians. That's the worst thing. Because then they're going to pray and they're going to believe God, right? Well, so I'm suspecting that this hex against Kavanaugh will be no better than the one they did against, or the three, I think, that they did against Trump. And this was, I'll give you a link to this too. It's being organized by an occult bookstore. And Lord, we just thank you that those that lay a trap fall into it themselves. You have spoken this yourself, Lord. We stand upon your word. You said it over and over, so we thank you. They say they're going to curse the rapists. For goodness sake, who is it that's doing that? It's them. So, but they're making a political statement that they're going to curse the rapists like Brett Kavanaugh. Again, the stupid demons. Just think, if they're going to curse the rapists, they're going to curse themselves. I wonder if God will let that one go. And again, since they've done this publicly against Trump, I think 3 times, and they failed, we have no reason to believe that they will actually do this time. However, I think they went on down the road just a little bit to give people time to forget, but it doesn't make any difference to Christians. If you demand it now, it will happen then. I think it's somewhere around the 20th, if I'm not mistaken. It's a while since I read this, so. So they know that you're able to do this. They've experienced that. And they know that this is why they want to kill Christians. And that's why they had taken over the government of the United States and the media. And, you know, invited them to all their sacrificial parties, right? Evil to its core. So anyway, pray and exercise your authority for Kavanaugh and cast down the enemy's hex, right? You know, the witchcraft faction people in both the political and the so-called Christian realm are desperate to stop the draining of their swamp. But in effect, when they are revealing their sinful nature, speaking against truth and righteousness, and promoting killing people and assassinations, and they're just promoting the draining of the swamp, because the actions of hatred and murder and theft and slander and stupidity scare the average American that these people could come to power. That's why we're going to have a red wave. Even most of the lost know they're evil. They act like this is a glorious thing that they do and that they say, but they're crazy. Totally crazy. We call them the stupid demons for a good reason. And now even the Bible code is showing this to be true. Here's a Bible code. I'm going to look at it for you. This one shows, quote, Democrat, unquote, quote, insane, unquote, quote, donkey, unquote. And they're all on the same skip sequence. Democrat, insane, donkey. And in the midst of this is, quote, Clinton, unquote. One of the leaders. And another one here is, I think Deborah Horton sent me this text here, this Bible code, is, quote, Democrat, unquote, quote, stupid, unquote, on the same skip sequence. So you see, it is the stupid demons. And with this on another skip sequence is, quote, the judges, unquote, quote, the donkeys, unquote. And on another skip sequence there in the midst of it, on it says the donkey, the donkey. And why is it that they're saying the judges? I believe it's that they consider themselves the judge and the jury, even though the people have voted them down. And they, of course, prove that they don't believe in democracy and they don't care what the people want because they're a bunch of communists, right? They want to anarchists, and they want to overthrow the country, and they shouldn't be tolerated. When they break the law, they need to go somewhere. So this code researcher, who does a very good job, he works very hard at what he does, and I'll put the link here to his site. He said, listen to this. This is his comment. We may be seeing the results of a virus, the corrupt media, or something in the electromagnetic spectrum, likely microwave, that is attacking human logic. He knows they're crazy. He don't know what's really behind it, but he knows they're crazy. And he went on to say, President Trump states what I have been writing about lately. Democrats are losing their minds. But why? We should not overlook the possibility of a virus, mind-altering drugs, brainwashing with the help of the leftist media, got that right, or U.S./foreign government experiments into mind control. Yes, all that's going on. All of it's going on. The stupid demons appear like all of the above, but the answer is much simpler. Satanism and its demon possession starts at the top, and it's exported through the false prophet media by slander to ignorant people who do not obey the biblical rules which would protect them from this. There are rules in the scripture of dealing with one another. The factious people always break them. Always. I haven't seen one case where they didn't. And when they get possessed, then everything they do to them is reasonable. But to everybody else, it's stupid demons. So, most of the Christian world knows nothing about Satan and his demons and their effect on their daily lives. And they don't know that Satan has power over Christians who disobey. They don't know that. And if you talk much about demons, they'll just depart. You know, they don't want to hear it, you know. But if they walk in sin and rebellion against the word, remember, rebellion is witchcraft. People tend to see Satanists as only those who identify themselves as such. But this is very wrong. It's all the people who bow down to him and his demons. In the church, this is what reveals the tares and separates them from for judgment. You know, Jesus still does deliverance through his body on earth for those who receive his grace. So all of you out there that are demon-possessed and know it, and it's been revealed to you, you can repent, you can turn to Jesus, and you can find some Christians who know how to cast out demons, and they will help you. Sometimes you don't even have to do that. Just repentance and faith towards God delivers you, right? So, how do we know this? 1 John 3:7-12. My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that doeth sin is of the devil. He that doeth sin is of the devil. See, this is very simple, isn't it? The Lord didn't make it hard. We should change our mind and believe what he says. And see, it doesn't matter whether it's in the church or in the government. He that doeth sin is of the devil, or from the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Yeah. And to this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And now he's doing a wondrous job, isn't he? He's going forth to judge the faction, which is the height of evil and demonic possession, in the government and in the church. Whosoever is born of God, most often translated begotten, but it's the same word. Whosoever is born of God doeth no sin. Now this confuses people, because much of the Christian world out there teaches that you can live in all this sin, and but if you're born again, well, that's an oxymoron. You know, listen, whosoever is born of God doeth no sin. That means the part of you that is sinning is not of God. It's not born of God. What is this process of being born again, spirit, and then soul, and then body? It's called sanctification, or separation from the world. It's a progressive thing. It begins by you repenting and asking the Lord to take over your life, and then being a disciple by reading the Word, which destroys the Word you've already got in you, and manifests Christ in you, which is a soul thing, right? A nature, character, and authority change in your life. So born again is really oversimplified by very ignorant preachers, so that we won't know the truth. But whatever part of you is born of God does not sin, because his seed, which is what? The Word abides in him. Awesome. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. So the born again man, the spiritual man, cannot sin because he's born of God. What about the carnal man? Oh, yes, he can continue to sin. But you see, the spiritual man, the Israelite, was sent into the promised land, which Paul said in Hebrews is our life, in order to take out the Canaanite, that is the carnal man, and take over the land and live in their houses and raise their own fruit, you see. So this is a process of sanctification, or of bearing fruit, as Jesus called it, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Some people are not even in the race, even though they call themselves Christians. They've borne no fruit. They've gotten worse since the time they were born again, because they don't understand. Your computer has a virus. You need to go in there and reprogram it with God's Word. And if you don't, you will not bear fruit. It is the seed that bears the fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And the seed is the Word of God, as Jesus said in the parable of the sower. So, you know, they're ignoring all this. You can continue to sin. What they're doing is they're letting the old man win and giving Satan exactly what he wants. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. So you see, it has nothing to do whether you call yourself a Christian. It's whether you're sinning or not. The children of God are being manifested through overcoming sin, and the children of the devil are manifested because they continue in sin. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. See the simple statements that people cannot get a grip on because they're so simple? They mean just what they say. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. What is there in faction but hatred and criticism and judgment and murder and lies and slander? What is there? There's no love of the brethren. They can't do it because they're not born of God. And for this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love one for another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And that's what the faction do too. We've had many dreams about them slaughtering or dismembering members of the body, cutting them off through slander. Slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Mm-hmm. That's why they hate their brother, because their works are evil and their brothers are righteous. Nothing's changed. Things that have been are the things that shall be. Here's another one, Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. Just one angel? Yeah. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And cast him into the abyss, and shut it, and sealed it over him, that he should deceive the nations no more, until the 1,000 years should be finished. And after this, he must be loosed for a time, a little time. Why is he loosed? Well, he's loosed because there's been 1,000 years, and there have been people born on the earth who are not saved. If you don't believe me, go back and read it. Don't pay attention to the preachers. Go back and read it for yourself. They are not saved. They all follow the devil. See, this is the generation that you get saved in. And what God wanted to prove is, even if you lock the devil up for 1,000 years, people are ready to follow him immediately if they're not born from above. And another thing he can prove here is that just one angel bound this big bad devil that everybody thought was so great and powerful and threw him in the pit. See, and some people would ask the question, well, why didn't God do that a long time ago? Because you have to be tested. And he is God's method of testing and chastening those who get out of line. So why did he wait until the end to do this? Because he has to do this with everybody. He tests everybody. Remember Jesus saying about Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail you. He didn't say, no, devil, you can't do that. Nope, I ain't going to let you do it. Well, he knew that it had to be done. Even Jesus himself had to be tested by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days. You will be tested. You see, it doesn't matter what you say. It matters if you overcome. The Bible in the book of Revelation teaches about the overcomers, you see. And that's people that are true disciples because they listen to the word and obey it. Luke 10 and 19, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So if God gave us this authority, why are people falling away? And if the devil has no authority, where does he get it from? Well, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. And then he delegated the authority to his disciples. So where, if all of the authority has been given to Jesus, he delegated it to his disciples, how does the devil get it? He talks you out of it. He deceives. He makes you think he has power, has authority. But he's a liar. He can only get it from you because what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loose in heaven. He can only get it from you. You have to give it to him. Notice, Jesus said, I give you authority over all of his power. But that's only for the believers, because they believe that and they exercise that, and the rest don't. So he deceives you like he deceived Eve. I'll get to that in a minute. Look at Revelation 12, 1 through 12. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And of course, this was a long time after Jesus was born to Mary. And John was told, come up hither and I'll show you the things that are to come to pass here after. So it was after all of that. It's not a prophecy of that at all. It's a prophecy of its re-fulfillment, because all history always fulfills on a greater scale. And this woman is not Israel. It's New Testament spiritual Israel. But the dragon is the same. He hadn't changed. So she was with child, and that's the man child, and she crieth out, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered with this child, this fruit, the first fruits of the woman. What fruit? The 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. And there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his head 7 diadems. Now you'll notice that later he says the great dragon was the old serpent that is called the devil and Satan. And here he has a body the same as the beast, with 7 heads and 10 horns. And I've explained to you that the beast is all of lost mankind. 7 heads, all, the 7 world-ruling empires. 10 horns, the 10 continental divisions of the earth. And so, look, Satan's got a body. It's as big as the earth. And, of course, Christ has a body. It's as big as the earth, too. But you're, if you're not for me, you're against me. That's what anti-Christ means. Anti, against, right? There's only 2 men on the earth, Jesus said. And there's only 2 women on the earth, Jesus said. You need to start paying attention to what he said, right? There's a Christ and there's an Antichrist here. There's a harlot and there's a true church here, right? And his tail, that is the dragon's tail, the prophet that speaketh lies, he is the tail, Isaiah said. And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Well, how did that happen? Well, they don't believe anything I have told you. That's why. They don't believe they have authority over Satan. They don't believe they can give up sin. They don't believe they can bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that they're here to come into the image of Jesus Christ. They do not believe. They're unbelievers. Remember Jesus said who believers were? These signs shall accompany them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons, etc., etc. Speak in tongues, heal the sick, you know, everything. This is what people who believe do. How many people out there are believers? Well, they believe in their church. They believe in their preacher. But the only defense you've got against the devil is to believe the word of God. It doesn't matter if you didn't go to their church. You have to believe the word of God, because this is where faith comes from. This is where authority comes from. So, the prophet that speaketh lies, I believe this is including the false prophet media that speaks lies, to cast them to the earth. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. Well, he couldn't do it. Wonder why? Because he bore the fruit. That's who this child is, the fruit. He can't do anything with that. And she was delivered of a son, a man child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And the Bible says overcomers. rule all nations with the law. If you, in case you think this is only Jesus, that's not what Revelation 2 says. It's the overcomers that rule all nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And this is dominion. The man-child now has dominion over the forces of darkness. And that's a powerful thing. All through the Bible, man-child ministries have done that. Received that throne of anointing. Like Joseph came out of prison. What's prison? That was like Jesus went to preach to the souls in prison. He came out. And he received authority over the earth. And Daniel received authority, etc., etc. David received authority. There's been man-childs, and Moses received authority. There's man-childs from the beginning all the way down, all prophesying the same thing that's coming. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her. That's, who is they? The man-child company. Because now in the New Testament, individuals become bodies. Christ is now a body in the earth. Antichrist is now a body, in, as we just said, in the earth. So the last repetition of history is on a much larger scale. You see, all the earth is involved in this drama now. It's not some guy in the Middle East called the Antichrist. Oh, no. Step out of your door and look. So they're nourishing her for 1,260 days, just like Jesus did. Except now, this is a much larger group of people that covers the earth, just like that dragon covered the earth, right? And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And we know that Michael and his angels received their authority from the people who had the authority to cast down the devil. As we read on, we can see that. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. And he was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him, like they were nothing. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God. And the authority of his Christ. There's that authority being manifested through God's people. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. And look at all the accusers of the brethren out there. Those slanderers. Who accuseth them before our God day and night. They truly are Satanists, you know. And they overcame him. They overcame him. What about the angels? The angels are there, like Psalm 103 says, to fulfill the word of God. And where does the word of God come from? Out of your mouth. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, your faith in the fact that Jesus took away your sins and gave you his life through his blood. Right? Your old life came through your parents' blood. Is the Adamic nature was in your parents' blood. It's not in Jesus' blood. They overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony or witness. Same word. They spoke the word, and Jesus is the high priest of their confession. What you speak, Jesus carries before the Father and the holy angels, and they go out and perform it. And they loved not their life even unto death. There you go. They lost their life. Jesus said, lay down and let me walk on you. Right. On that old flesh. Bring it under dominion. It's dead. Believe it. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. but alive unto God. Reckon it, that's what he said. And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. In other words, this is the secret. You believe Jesus took away your sin? Believe it. Speak it. Don't say you're going to be a sinner saved by grace. That's an oxymoron. You're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. And they love not their life even unto death. That means they laid down their life for the gospel. They accepted their crucifixion gladly. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the earth and for the sea, because the devil is gone down unto you, having a great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. Who is it in the heavens? Who is seated with Christ in the heavenly places? We are. As we abide in heavenly places, where? In Christ Jesus. If you abide in Christ, you are in heavenly places. Has nothing to do with geography. Colossians 1 and 13. Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Translated us. You've been translated. Praise God. And Matthew 18 and 19. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. Now some Christians blame you for believing that. And it's all because their mind is poisoned by a bunch of false preachers, right? They blame you for believing what God said. In Mark 11:24, too. Name it and claim it, they call it. Well, if they don't want the provision of God, they don't have to have it. But they're proving themselves to not be of God. So how can Satan beat us? 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. Now that's really what we've been speaking about here, is how simple it is. A message is there. It's in black and white. You don't even have to dig for it. It's beautiful. And the serpent beguiled Eve. He deceived her. She had authority. She didn't know it either. How did that happen? Well, read it. Genesis 3, 1 through 5 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, why did God make the serpent, for goodness sake? Because he didn't want a bunch of robots. He wanted people who knew the good and refused the evil and chose him, just like Isaiah 7 says. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, he's questioning God's word, as he always does. And by the way, your preachers can do it too, but that's Satan and them doing it. You shall not eat of any tree of the garden. Has he said you shall not even? Well, he's perverting it right there. And at first Eve caught him at it. She said, and the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So that first part didn't work for her, but this part did. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Well, Eve was in a natural state. She wasn't in a spiritual state. So was Adam. And the natural man, when he reads the knowledge of good and evil, it condemns him. Because then his sin is revealed and then it becomes sin. Right? But for the spiritual, born again from heaven man, he can study good and evil and he can walk in it and proceed in it, and there's no harm whatsoever. So God told them, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you will die. Well, that's exactly what happened. They died. John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father it is your will to do. So how does the devil beat us? Right there, those lusts. The lusts or desires of your father, it's your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and standeth not in the truth. Well, you can see his children out there. They're murderers and they don't stand in the truth. You know which ones they are. It's very simple. You know which ones they are. Because there is no truth in him. Well, you can see who they are, can't you? And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the father thereof. He is the father of the lie. He told the lie to Eve, and she went out and became a liar. From that time, this is Matthew 16:21-23. From that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, supposed to be God's people, right? Their leadership, right? But God had to send an army in there. Titus led an army in there to destroy these evil people who thought they were God's people. Is it the same today? Yes, it's the same today. Nothing's new under the sun. And be killed. And the third day he be raised up. Yep, they will speak against you, they will assassinate you with their tongue, and so on and so forth. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, no! Satan had invaded Peter. Yeah, why? Because Jesus said, thou art a stumbling block unto me. He's trying to keep him from going to his cross. You know, if there's no cross, there's no crown. Peter wasn't being a friend of Jesus here. And he didn't realize it because he didn't yet understand. We have to all go to our cross or there's no crown. If you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. That's what Jesus said. Thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. So that was what will get you in trouble with Satan right there. The things of men, not the things of God. We know we came here to die just like our Lord Jesus said of himself. Zechariah 3:1-2 says, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Yea, the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? Oh, so Satan was the accuser, but the Lord was defending this brand plucked out of the fire. And he called it Jerusalem, which is what? The bride. So, Satan is the accuser. He's the accuser. All of his little Satans out there, they are all accusers. Look at them. Look at them in the political realm. And then look at them in the church realm. You're to reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. They're all saying, you're a sinner. Even while they're pointing their finger at you, there's three pointing back at them. So, 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And he's still got to have permission to devour you. You know, he's got to have your permission to devour you. You have to agree with him. You have to let his deceit stand in your mind. You have to listen to him, right? You have to obey him, and he can devour you. Just like the lions devoured those slanderers who spoke against Daniel. Whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. Steadfast in your faith. You can stand steadfast in your faith. The devil don't have to take you down. Amen. Ephesians 6, 11 through 16. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, if somebody's not standing against the wiles of the devil, they don't have the armor on. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness. So we're not wrestling with men, as you can see most of the church is, and that's always a failure. We do our wrestling against the principalities and the powers and the world rulers of this darkness who are in men. We deal with them. And that's where we find the victory. Against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. You'll be able to stand with the armor of God. And the armor of God has everything to do with the Word of God manifested in you. And to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, put on the Word of God. Stand therefore, having girt about your loins with the truth, which is what? The Word of God. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, which comes by faith in the Word of God. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which is in the Word of God. With all taking up the shield of faith, which is faith in what? The Word of God. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. All the fiery darts of the evil one. All of them. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Luke 22, 1 through 6, drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Notice, Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is called the Passover. The Feast of Unleavened Bread started with the Passover, right? And if you had any leaven in your house during those 7 days, you were cut off from the people of God. In other words, you didn't have a Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might put him to death, for they feared the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot. Judas Iscariot means a man who is a city, because he is a corporate body in these days. The son of perdition is a corporate body in these days. He's throughout the church. There are many Judases. Being of the number of the 12, and he went away and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might deliver him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. Of course, Judas had a problem in his flesh. He had given in to a lust of money and theft. And basically the devil found a foothold there and he took him out. And he consented and sought opportunity to deliver him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Guess because they always do their works in darkness. They shoot in the darkness at the innocent, right? These are ways that Satan can get a hold on a person who's giving in to sin instead of putting on the armor. And let's see, Matthew 16 and 18 says, "And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of Hades," or hell, "shall not prevail against it." So the gates of Hades or hell cannot prevail against the church. But remember what I've told you the church is. Church is ecclesia. It means the called out ones. It's not the ones in the building that won't come out of their apostasy. It's the ones that are called out. just like all of God's people in Jesus' day were called out of the apostate Judaism to come and follow him. It wasn't those in the buildings that had the robes and the education and all this that were the church. It was those who came out from among them that was the church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against them. Job 1:6-12 says, "Now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, that Satan also came among them." It didn't say he was a son of God. It says he came among them. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it," looking for somebody to trip up, right? "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" You wouldn't think he would do that. That's like waving a red flag in front of a bull, isn't it? Hey, you know, "For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and turneth away from evil." Yep, he waved that flag right in front of that bull's face. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side?" Yes, you see, the devil don't have freedom to do anything he wants with a child of God. "Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will renounce thee to thy faith." Not a true child of God. They wouldn't do that. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Yes, he did. And he smote poor old Job and tested him and tried him. And he was pretty faithful. He had some things he didn't see, a little self-righteousness and things like that. But he also had some factious brethren who are just accusing him, and they were liars, just like they always are. And the Lord straightened them out too, didn't he? He said, "You didn't speak the truth of me as my servant Job did." And of course, Job ended up with more than he had to begin with. There was restoration of all things given to him, right? And Paul, you know, needed a humbling, and the devil was right there to help out. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, "And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted over much, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan," or an angelos, "of Satan," an angel of Satan, "to buffet me." That's a demon, by the way, in case you don't know. "That I should not be exalted over much." So that I should not be exalted. So the devil can humble people. "Concerning this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he has said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses." Do you do that? Well, we have to be trained to do that, right? And he's doing the training. "For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." Yes, he was in many bad situations, but the Lord delivered him out of them all, he said. Yeah. He learned faith in God, the power of God, right? Oh, hallelujah. Let's see. I'm going to jump down a little bit. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12. "Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, to the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet troubled, either by spirit or by word or by epistle as from us, as that the day of the Lord is just at hand. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be except the falling away come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's Judas hiding in the church. And you know what? You don't get to see him unless there's a falling away that comes first. When he fell away, everybody knew who it was. Now we're seeing the same thing. He that opposeth and exalteth himself against all that is called God, yes, or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, and the word for temple here is the one Paul always used for the church, the people, setting himself forth as God. Yes, meaning it's my idea. These people all think they're God. They're ready to do the judging. They're ready to everything. It's them. It's just them. Remember, they lead themselves. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know that which restraineth, to the end that he may be revealed in his own season. What restrained? Not the Holy Spirit. The falling away had to come first. The falling away was restraining them from being revealed. Come on now, it's very simple. For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work, only there is one that restraineth now, until he or it become out of the midst, literally in the numerics, until he become out of the midst. What is restraining the sanctification of the church? The sons of perdition coming out of the midst. And then shall be revealed the lawless one. See, notice, when Judas came out of the midst, he, through the falling away, he was revealed as the lawless one, whom the Lord shall slay with the breath of his mouth, bringing to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. There's Satan. He's ready to take over anybody that falls away and is revealed as a son of perdition or a son of destruction. And with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. See, the reason they get deceived is because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sendeth them a working of error that they should believe a lie. This is the demon possession right there. They got turned over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And we have run out of time, but I'll put a few more of them on here for you to think about. Who is Satan, and what is his job, and how can he actually prosper us if we follow God? You know, wonderful things. Well, Father, we thank you so much for this awesome time of study and looking at the things that are coming upon the world. And we thank you for being our God and our Savior. We thank you for justice. We want to see that justice, Lord. Even though it's for a short time, we want to see it. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Okay, good night, saints. The Lord bless you and keep you.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. That darkest night, what will be my guiding light? shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus. My Lord Jesus.